This morning, take the Bible, please, and turn to John chapter 19. Pilate asked a very, very important question, but he asked it the wrong way. John chapter 19. The song this morning, Trust in Me. There's a lot of heartache in the world, there's no doubt about that. We all have experienced it in some form or fashion. Here we have Jesus Christ right before His crucifixion. Pilate asked a question in John chapter 19 that really stands out, which is the title of the sermon this morning. Let's read in verse 38, please. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? What is truth? I could tell you right now, and it would be a truthful statement, that there is a tire on that car. We can further make that more of a truthful statement by saying there's a tire on that wheel that is on the car. And both of that will be a truthful statement. But that is not what Pilate is getting at here. And it's something that we and philosophers have grappled with since the dawn of time, is what is truth? What is truth? And what we need to understand, that Pilate asked, had the right intentions. He asked the questions kind of in his own best way about what is truth, because Christ is being put on trial here. And he turns and asks Christ, what is truth? What is truth? Well, in John chapter number 1, I want you to read something here this morning. And it's so simple, but yet it's so powerful. Read with me, if you will, in verse 14, John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Pilate almost got it right. Folks, the question is not is what is truth, but who is truth? I believe God's doing something in the life of Faith Baptist Church. I believe He's brought the church to this point and pinnacle in time. I'm nothing, you're nothing, we're nothing of ourselves. But if you understand something about how God has done something with a group of people, He's always given those people, if you read the Old Testament, it doesn't matter if it's Judges, the kings, the prophets, Joshua, you name it, He's given those folks a distinct message. Different churches are known for different things. It has been a burden of mine for quite some years to start a type program. I don't have the time. I don't have per se the calling to work with youth. I'm called to pastor and preach. But it was an amazing thing. Several months ago, I didn't know Brother Ron Schenck that well. And he began to share with me his vision about how he thought things should happen with a youth. And God began to just like blow my mind. I'm thinking to myself, this man has taken my words here. He's taken my heart and he's taken something here. And he's speaking my language. And it was a good thing. We both got excited. And through that, we've seen two young people come to Christ. And we praise God for that. And we pray. No, the platform wasn't full this morning, but we thank God for what we had. We can only trust God for more. Every great thing has small beginnings. And I hope maybe God will take this thing across the nation. God has given every people who He has used in a significant way a message. A message. Last Friday evening, my wife and I had dinner with another couple in the church, and it is apparent to me that God is stirring this man about the significance of dad doing what dad should do in the home, and for the wife, and for the children in the home. And as it became apparent to me that this God has been using this man, preparing this to happen for this moment in time. This moment in time. And if we as a church do not understand and maximize the efficiency working of God's grace in a church, we're going to miss the boat. And God will find somebody to take that message to a lost and dying world. You know, you can miss your blessings in life. You ever done that? You ever said, man, I wish I'd have done that. I see God working here in the life of this church in a significant way on a scale that I haven't seen in things I've been involved in, not necessarily here, but in other places. I see God working, and I cannot ignore that as a pastor. I cannot ignore this thing. And I want you to find out. It's not about us. It's not about necessarily a message, but whom the message is about. It's not what the message is about, it's who the message is about. And that message is about Jesus Christ. But if we as a body of people do not understand that God does give certain churches certain messages. Some churches are known powerfully for their bus ministries. And we're about to get a bus ministry started. We want to see that to be a robust ministry. And we've got some wonderful people working with that thing. And God has brought their hearts and lives to this point in time in Faith Baptist Church. And we've been praying, if you've been here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, we've been praying for several months that God would put His ministry, His burden, His desire in our hearts and establish Thou Thy work in our hands, Lord. That's what we've been praying here. And that's what we've been praying. And I'm seeing God answer that prayer. And all I'm doing today is just hopefully enlightening you. Some of you have been paying attention and watching. But you're seeing the direction of what Faith Baptist Church is doing in the direction that God is leading the church. And if you that have been paying attention, you can just say, amen. I see it. I see it. I see God working. Last Saturday, we went and we was out and we saw a lady trust Christ. And Miss May, she trusted Christ. She's getting baptized today. So glad she's following through, right? She came. We saw then we saw four of her family members get saved and friends get saved. One of them is sick today. And won't be here, so we'll have to do her again next week. Amen. So keep the water running back there, guys. Amen. So we understand that. And out of that, we saw five people get saved within a seven-day period at Faith Baptist Church. Can we say amen right there? Amen. This is stuff that's just God just like put it on us to do it. It's just right there. And that is great. But then God didn't stop there. I thought, well, hey, you know, God's done. Well, God wasn't done. And by the way, I don't want God to be done. And then I went to work Saturday. I shared this with the folks Wednesday night. I went to work Wednesday. I went to work Wednesday, and I had my friend came up to me and said, "Look, you got to talk to these people." I'm like, "Who?" "Okay, you're blowing my mind here." talk to these people. Well, I scheduled a lunchtime with this guy Wednesday and began to talk to him about some things, how God's working in his life, and he got saved Wednesday. And so I think, well, it can't get any better than that. We're done. Well, I come to church Wednesday night, and I tell God, everybody in here, what God is doing. And then little Preston walks up, and he said, "Pastor, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior." I said, "Give me a high five, buddy." "Give me a high five." And then, I didn't know it then, but then come Brother Ron Schenck in, and he's telling me that Tyler trusted Christ as his Savior. I'm thinking, well, hey, it's not going to get any better than that. Well, this guy that I witnessed to at work Wednesday found out that his girlfriend wants to know more about Jesus Christ. So my wife and I took a journey Saturday all the way down the south part of the Beltway right outside of D.C. And God had her ready, and she got saved yesterday. What is God doing? He's establishing His work in our hands. But through all that, what God has shown me, there's circumstances, there's trials, there's painful memories that people have experienced, are experiencing in life. And what they need, who they need, is Jesus Christ. And I want to show you. Let's go to verse 1, chapter 1 here. "In the beginning was the Word." Important for us to know that. John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning." Now, if you go to verse 14, the Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We know that John is speaking of Jesus Christ right there, right? That's a no-brainer, okay? So, whom is truth? What is truth? It's not what, it is who. It is who is going to change my life. "Pastor, I need some help." "Pastor can't help you, but I can tell you who can." Okay? Now, watch this. Watch this. And this is what God is showing me, and this is the agenda, if you will, the direction that I believe God wants to take Faith Baptist Church. And it's very simple, so don't miss the power of it, because the power is what I just explained to you that's happening. And understand it, if you will. May God help us understand it this morning. Notice in verse 3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 4, "In Him was" what? "Life." People want to live life to its fullest. Do you know that? And we know that there's a lot of deception in how the devil tries to get young people to live life to the fullest, and it's destructive, it's terrible. And not only that, but it's for the adults too. There's deception. The Satan appeals to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and he destroys us from all this. Now I want you to notice something. Let's go, if you will, to John 16. Jesus Christ is whom we are to direct people to. In John chapter 16, something very, a passage of Scripture right here is very, we teach it academically, we know it, we've read it 1,001 times, but we don't understand what God is doing. A while ago, I asked many of you, how many of you have precious memories? And everybody, I hope everybody raised your hand. But I also asked how many of you had not so precious memories? And many of you raised your hand, and perhaps right now you're in a phase of your life where you are not making a precious memory, but a non-precious memory. And notice what God is doing in your life. This is not by accident. He made everything. Do you know that? Does God work in big circumstances? Does He work in small circumstances? He works in the big and the small. Don't think that the minute things of life are insignificant, friends, because if God can't control the small things, He can't control the big things, because the small things make the big. That's how it works in life. Not just the people that come across your path, the people that you meet at the grocery store. And this is something that God really illuminated. I had people all around me at work, hurting, downcast, out. And I understand there's some things won't go into. You're in a federal building. You just can't haul off and start preaching Jesus. You can. You might not work there anymore. I got a family to feed. And Brother Ed over here, yep, that's right. Notice what God is doing right here in verse 7, chapter 16 of John. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. And let's stop right here and look at this. God's Spirit is working in this world on people who have not yet trusted in Him. Now listen, it doesn't matter if we're paying attention to what God is doing or not, He is still working on people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And by us not paying attention to that, we miss God's blessing. We're not maximizing our efficiency and our potential or even being obedient unto the God if we're not paying attention to this. Because the Holy Spirit's working. God's not going to stop His Spirit just because we want to turn our back on it. Amen. And not in your life, my life, or anything like of that nature. And this is, look at here in verse 10. The Bible says, the Holy Spirit of God is in this world convicting people of righteousness. Why is this? In other words, this is for the Christian who is living right, but God wants to take them higher. God wants to take them higher. And the Bible says also, and it says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, you and I are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, and the lost people are going to be judged at the great white throne. Judgments, two separate judgments, we're going to be judged, right? And this is what the Holy Spirit of God is doing, friends. And this is what God, I believe, is showing Faith Baptist Church. Here is what God is doing. Now listen, where you and I come into play in this thing is this. There are people that God is working in their hearts and in their lives out here every day. We see them at the grocery store. We work with them. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. They're our cousins. They're young people. They're old people. And God is working in their life. And they're trying. They will go somewhere to try to get help. They will turn to somebody to try to get some answers. And we know who the person is that can help these people. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's not what is truth. It is who is truth. You see this? And understand this. Notice this. And here's where the power of your testimony. How many of you have not so precious memories? Can I raise your hand? Can you raise your hand? You have a testimony. You have a testimony. Did God get you through what you raised your hand about? Amen. You have a testimony. Notice this. When we understand something here about what God is doing in people's lives, maybe He's working in some of your loved ones' lives right now. And notice what He's doing. Every time, it doesn't matter if God's working with the lost or with a person who is saved and is rebellion, God's method is always the same. He brings that person to a place of repentance. We looked at that last week. Okay? Now, notice what God does. Let's go to Hosea real quick. Hosea chapter number 5. Hosea number 5. And as we turn there, I want to make a few comments that I think, or let me say just a question. How many of you have been in a situation you think, well, man, things keep getting crazier and crazier by the day? I just got where I don't want to answer the phone. I want to talk to people. Things just seem like the whole world is going out of orbit. Is that you? Have you been there? What's going on? Let me show you what's going on. The Holy Spirit of God is in this world reproving people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Bottom line, in verse 15, chapter number 5, notice what God says right here. He says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their, what's this word here? Affliction, they will seek me early. Isn't that what the prodigal son did? He got so afflicted, he said, you know what? I'm tired of the pain. What is truth? They don't know what question to ask. They don't understand how to ask the right question. It's not what is truth. What should I do? How can I get out of this situation? What's going on? They ask the wrong questions because they're asking the questions the best they can in life. We, as Christian people who have God's light, must understand these people are functioning in a universe that is totally separate from ours because of this one truth. We've met the life and the truth. We've met him. And we go to the same restaurants. Well, for the most, some parts, if you go to Cracker Barrel maybe. We go to the ball games and we're right beside these people and they don't know that they know maybe something just a little bit different, but they haven't never entered into our universe. And God wants them to come on in. Because hopefully we're obedient Christians and we are following God. We're all obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must understand they don't know how or what the right question is to ask. Pilate was just like frustrated. What is truth? I've been a military man all my life. What's truth? Tell me what truth is. He was trying to give an answer to where he had no question. But Jesus Christ, in that passage, was telling him something. He was telling him something. And I want you to hold your place right here in Hosea. And let's go back to John chapter 16. What was Jesus Christ telling Pilate? John chapter 19, I'm sorry. John 19. What was Jesus telling Pilate? Well, if we look in the previous verse, we will notice what Jesus was telling Pilate. Pilate says in verse 38, what is true? In verse 37, we wind up with Jesus speaking to Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, notice this, to this end was I, what's this word? Born. To this end was I born. You know what Christ was telling Pilate? He said, I know the truth. I know what this world's all about. I have the answers to everything. I know what it's all about. I can solve all your problems. I can help you get things, get further in life than you can ever get in yourself. I can give you power in your life and your marriage. I can give power in your career, Pilate. And he's saying, what he's saying right here, he said, I know my purpose. I know my purpose. A church should know its purpose. A pastor should know its purpose. A Christian should know its purpose. Jesus Christ knew his purpose. He said, for this cause right here, this day, the reason why I came into this world, this is why I'm here. His ministry is defined. His direction in life is defined. You say, love, listen, we come up, and you young people listen to me, okay? Because you are the target. The public school system, everything these people hear, everything these young people say, and you and I have been living it, we've watched our dads live it, watched our moms live it, and somewhere along the line there's going to have to be a generation of people that says, enough! Enough with the chaos. Enough with 15, 60-hour work weeks. We got to go to church. We got to get right with God. We got to get our families back in the house of God. We got to get things going in the right direction in this country. I can't change them, but Lord, help me to do something about my family. That's what we need to understand here. Jesus Christ understood his purpose, and you and I have to understand why we have had not so precious memories in life, because the Holy Spirit of God has been working in your life and in my life and the life of this church to understand what the purpose is, and our purpose is to tell who the truth is. So it's got to be more than that. Let me tell you, what is greater than telling people about Jesus? Nothing. Thank you, sir. Nothing. Not a ball game, not a CEO meeting, not a dinner, not getting the laundry done, not anything is more better than telling people about Jesus Christ. I never felt better than after I've led somebody to Christ. How many led somebody to Christ and right 10 minutes before you had the worst day of your life? Then after you do it, it's like, that ain't nothing. Praise God, somebody got saved. Amen. I haven't slept this long, and honestly, I can't remember. I was wore out beyond the other day, and I slept in. You know how long I slept? I slept at 9 o'clock. Sleeping into me is usually like 6 o'clock because I'm up at 3 every day. I was wore out, but I thought, man, that's a good kind of tired feeling. I've seen 9 folks get saved this week. That's a good kind of tired. Praise God. I don't mind being tired when you're seeing stuff like that going on. What is God doing? Jesus Christ knew his purpose. Back over here in Hosea. Back over here in Hosea. What we find here is God saying, look, I'm backing off these people. I'm going to let them stir in their craziness. I'm going to let him stir in his debauchery. I'm going to let him just go through the gamut. And when they get point, when they're just at their wit's end, I'm going to begin to speak and move in their life. And that's where you and I come in. That's where these Sunday school cards come into play. And I went over this in the Sunday school class, in the couples class back here, where it comes into play, teaching the approach, because here's the approach. What's happening? Let's go back up. Let's go back up to verse number 11. Ephraim is oppressed and what? Broken. And that's where these people at. And a lot of time you'll see the manifestation of that is their anger. They're not going to tell you, man, I'm just busted all to pieces. They're not going to tell you, man, things are falling apart. But God's working on them. And listen, listen, listen. Here's what you tell them. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today. If God is working on you, that means He is with you, bringing you to a place of repentance for sin, righteousness, because one day we're all going to be judged. And that's what we as a people of God must understand our ministry is. Listen, you're never going to have the questions answered because of what you're going through answered until we take it up a notch and understand whom it's all about. Stop right there. The power of your testimony. Why has God let you go through things? Why? Because, brother, let me tell you something. You know how I started out talking to this lady yesterday? The same way I started talking out with many people. I didn't start firing the Word of God at them. I come with them like this. Listen. I'll shake your hand anyway. It's not part of this illustration. Yeah. It's my buddy. Good man. People will listen to your testimony because you have felt pain. And there's not a person in this room that God hasn't worked with and brought you pain. And it brought you to church because you came to the end of yourself. And that story of you is a powerful, powerful testimony, and it should be resounded, it should be repeated, because you are special, and the one that saved you is most special. And it's the power of a personal testimony. Understand this. Do you know your purpose? You think God has brought you through those things and said, I'm glad it's over with? No. God wants you to use that. I use things how God has in my life with this person yesterday, and tears were flowing down her face. You know why? Nothing else was going to work in this woman's life other than getting her heart soft so the Word of God can get in there. And there's where your personal testimony is powerful. It's powerful. And understanding your purpose. May you got a purpose. Your daughter, they got a purpose now. God's brought you this moment. Tell everybody. Some folks stop telling it. We lose our purpose. We get cold. We lose our way. God has a purpose for this ministry. And there's people out there God is working on. He said, I'm backing off. I'm just letting them stir. But I need a church that's going to be there when I sound the horn. Because I love them. I'm not going to leave them ever. Just letting them stir. Just letting them stir in their crazy. Because in chapter 4, he says, Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Let him alone. That's country talk. It's Bible talk, too. God says, just let him alone. I'm working. Just let him alone. And when they're ready, God sends his people, his woman, his man, into that situation and says, hey, let me tell you what God did in my life. Then you tell them about who made it all better. I'm going to tell you something. That is a life worth living right there. The gentleman at work, he's fascinated about the fact how God has worked in his life. He kept telling me so many times this past week, he said, do you know where I was this time last year? I said, yes, sir, I do. I saw you drinking. I saw you trying to chase your relationship and it ran from you. I saw you rebelling against God. I saw all that. Yeah. I know. But now the man is being used to see people come to Christ. He's got a peace on him that passeth all understanding. You can't explain other than he surrendered to God. He understood his purpose. And now his life is up here. He's up here. And the things he was dealing with has gone bye-bye. It's all gone bye-bye. Why? God was just letting him stir. Strong guy. Strong personality. God just said, look, when you're ready, I will take you to the one who is truth. And God's Spirit is working in this world to do just that. Maybe you're there today. Maybe God letting you stir. But maybe there's going to be somebody out there this week, if we have a sharp eye and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there's going to be somebody that says, you know what? Nah, never mind. I don't need to get into it. Oh, come on. You know what God did for me? Start the conversation. You know what God did for me? God just had to get me so low where I'd listen. And that person's going to begin to listen to you. And they're going to listen to your testimony. And the bottom line, what you need to tell them is, who put you on shouting ground? Who put you there? His name is who?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
I didn't hear you.
Jesus.
That's his name. That's the message. That's our mission. Let's pray. Father, if there's someone here today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray today they'll make that profession in Christ. If that's you, you know God loves you. You've heard the story of Jesus 1,000 times. You know you're a sinner, as we all are. You realize that without Christ you cannot get into heaven. You realize that His death, burial, and resurrection is the only key, the only way we can get to heaven, the only way. If that's you here today and you want to know Christ as your Savior to make heaven your home, because hell is a real place, pray this prayer. You're not praying to me, you're praying to God. I'm just there like a coach, just trying to help you, give you instruction. Pray this prayer. Dear God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Help me to live for Thee. I believe You died for me and rose again. In Jesus' name. With no